Welcome, welcome, welcome. I'm Sean Frame, and this is From the Roots Up. This week, we've got a great show for you. It's focused on one of my favorite topics, activism. This one is a good one. I've gotten some good friends of mine to join me on the show today. And we're going to talk about something that a lot of people are thinking about right now, what it means to be in the streets, to protest, to speak your mind, to use the First Amendment while we have it to its fullest extent. What are the limits? What are the ways that things can get accomplished? What is the reason to get out in the street and do these things? You know, you probably noticed a rise in activism in our community and across the nation. But what does it mean to be an activist? How do you get out there? How do you get involved? How do you bring others along? And why do people take action? And as I said on today's show, I've got a couple of local activists who've been at it for nearly a decade and really far before that. Colonel Pat Thompson and Barbara Brass are an amazing local couple who have become well-known in Placer County and throughout the region for their activism. If you've driven through Roseville on a Tuesday or Thursday in the last few years, you may have seen their group, the Rat Pack, out on the corner, carrying signs and speaking truth to power. We'll see how they became activists and look at how their unique life experiences shaped their worldview, and all in a way that is both relatable and understandable on From the Roots Up. This episode of From the Roots Up is brought to you by The Torch Club, Sacramento's premier live music venue every Wednesday to Sunday. Check them out at 904 15th Street in Sacramento or online at torchclub.net. We all know that money spent on politicians is nothing more than a bribe. Citizens United called it free speech, but we know better. But what if we could balance the scale a few bucks at a time? That's what we're doing at the Six Pack, taking small donations and adding them up to make things more fair. Crack open some change. Support the Six Pack. Paid for by the Six Pack, which is responsible for the content of this advertising. www.thesixpack.com. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. From the Roots Up, I'm here with Colonel Pat Thompson and Barbara Brass, famous locally here in the Placer County region for the Rat Pack, and also for their incredible journey that was documented in the film Surviving the Silence. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. We're glad to be here.
Thank you, yes. Yeah.
Well, I am so glad to have you today on the air with me. We met years ago because of the Rat Pack. I feel like at that moment in time, right after President Trump was elected the first time, many of us, for our own reasons or for a variety of reasons, really felt like it was time to take to the streets, to make ourselves known. And I'm not sure whether I met you first on the corner by Tom McClintock's office, or if it was at the actual speech that he gave, one of the few public events he did at the Roseville, in Roseville.
But, at the Tower Theater, you're referring to that meeting or that
yes.
event? Yeah.
Yes. But yeah, I know, I remember around that time I met both of you, and I was just so happy that not only were you taking this effort on in Placer County and Roseville area, but you had a name that actually told people when to show up.
and that's interesting, because I've now decided to change the name, because we are no longer just Tuesdays and Thursdays. We are everywhere all the time, anytime, depending on what's happening. And I think the flexibility of that is hopefully, and the change in name is still resistance action and still the same double T's, but it's truth and tenacity, because we're all about truth and we do have a lot of tenacity. We ha hang on, and I had to keep those letters. So I'm working on new cards and a sign that says that, and giving people, because after a while the Tuesday Thursday got confusing. So I thought it's time to change it to something else.
Well, so for our listeners who don't know, it was originally Resistance Action Thursdays, right? And then it
Well,
was Tuesdays.
it was Tuesdays first, because
Right.
where I got the motivation was, I believe it was on Move On, wherever I was connected at the time, and they were saying just ignore this inauguration. So the inauguration was on Tuesday. So I thought we'll just have a resistance action, and they said something like get out in front of your legislator's office, get out on the streets, do something. So I really had the strong motivation that we were in a great location. We had Tom McClintock's office on the corner of Douglas and Eureka Boulevards, which is a very busy corner in Roseville, and there is shade there. That was a nice thing, and there's plenty of parking, so it was a perfect location to start something. And I thought I'll just put it out to the few people we knew at the moment, and there were probably a handful of us, maybe seven, the first time. And then I put it out on MoveOn.org. And people started showing up, and they were just feeling like they're not the only ones who feel the same way. And it kept growing from that. It grew and grew. And it was like feeling like you had some safety and security with your neighbors.
Yeah, so it started out as Resistance Action Tuesdays. You added Thursday, so you added a second T, and now it's Truth and Tenacity. Is that what it is?
That's right. Truth and
All
tenacity.
right. Love that. And now, before you, I mean, you didn't just wake up. Well, I mean, maybe you did, right? You just said, hey, people got to get out and do something. I'm going to get out and do something. But did you ever imagine yourselves when you got into this? Being out there for all these years and creating a movement. I mean, so many people have at one time or another been out on that corner with y'all, right? Like it's not just it was maybe started out as a few people, but we're talking about hundreds of people at this point who've been out there.
Okay. Yeah. Well, my feeling, and this happened when I saw that disgusting descent on the Golden Escalator in 2015.
Remember that.
I just had this horrible feeling in the pit of my stomach, and what he was saying and how he was being. I come from a family of Holocaust survivors, so I know those stories. They don't just come from nowhere. This person has been cultivated somehow, and what he was saying just tasted, smelled, and looked like the coming of another type of Holocaust. And people were, and this was before he was elected, he was just announcing. And then before the election, oh my goodness, I was sure that he would win, as much as I didn't want that. And people around me, we happened to be, Pat and I were at a Holocaust survivors and descendants conference in LA. And I'm talking to the people, most of them my peer group, my age group, I think. And it was just before the election. I said, I think he's going to win. They, oh, don't even think about it. Don't worry about it. There's no way. But I had that feeling, and it gripped me, and it kept on. And so when it happened, I knew I had to get out there. This was my opportunity to fight the fight that my family couldn't, and people at that time in those days in Germany and in Europe could not fight like we could. We still can. How long that'll last, I don't know. But it was available to me, and I thought, I have to do this. I have to do this, and I don't know where the tenacity or the well, it's coming close to 8 years, and we have been at every possible place we could be this whole time. And I have to give credit to Pat. I mean, her history is not my history of growing up with that. She was born and raised in America in the South and poor, but still, she's with me every minute. She was with me. She's behind me, with me, next to me, sometimes in front of me.
It's karma.
You kind of thought, like, I was actually thinking this as you were saying it. Obviously, Pat, you have a different life experience, and you spent a good portion of your career in the military, which not a lot of people in the military also going out and having protesting and having an activist role, right? What did you think of all this, and how did it, you were retired at that point, right? So,
Yeah, we
but
both were.
yeah, but. How did it, was it a different feeling to you when you heard this? You thought, oh, we'll go out a couple Thursdays and a couple of Tuesdays and
Oh,
maybe.
I have to tell you, I love being out there. I love supporting democracy because without it, I would not have been able to go to school. I would have grown up even more poor than I was, but it was there, and it allowed me to do that, and that's why I am who I am today.
So for you had a reason in your own soul that made you motivated to get out there and do this
I
kind of
did.
work.
Absolutely. And
And
I love being out there. the people we have met, you being one of them, and so many others. I mean, now our community really is the people we've met through the political action that we've all taken on some level or other, whether it be in a club or out at rallies or at the Rat Pack or wherever, whatever we're doing. But there's so much. And my feeling, years ago, when I was growing up, I had the bad taste in my mouth that politics meant you were a slick politician, or you were probably like a good politician, like Ke the Kennedys, you were assassinated. So, pretty bad feeling. And here I am in the middle of it, not running for anything, running away. I could say I'm running away from everything, but no, I'm not doing that either. I just feel that politics, it has a long way to go to get cleaned up and to be worth the energy that we all put into
From the Roots Up is community radio that is sponsored by community businesses. If you'd like to join the growing list of folks who make this show possible, reach out to Jenny, Jenny, at khi.com. If you love live music and want to be up close and personal with the band, there's only one place to go, the Torch Club. This hotspot is the place to be with two shows a day, Wednesday to Sunday. Check out the upcoming shows at torchclub.net or just drop by 904 15th Street in Sacramento. The Torch Club. There's always something happening. From the Roots Up is brought to you by The Six Pack. Crack open some change and support the candidates and causes we need in these times. Paid for by The Six Pack, which is responsible for the content of this advertising. www.thesixpack.com. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
If the cause was right, I'd leave to find an answer on the road.
When you get out there and you bring a few people and you bring some signs and you start speaking truth to power, what does that do for just regular old folks in the community? And why should they get out there and get involved with you? What's the,
Well, my full re first reason I felt to be out there on the streets is to educate people with the
Yeah,
signs we were
absolutely.
carrying, with the message we were having, to educate the general public. And my view of the general public has never been very positive. It's kind of gotten worse lately. And I still feel strongly that if somebody is motivated by something that they see in a positive way, or they learn something, or even we've had where they say they pulled over and say, I want to be part of your group. That is the ultimate in what we're doing. So I think the community aspect of it, the educational aspect of it, and the truth to power. We have never over these years gotten much press at all. And I'm not that type. That's not my forte. I don't know the best way to do it. I don't know how to make it work, but we've gotten very little. So how it's grown has been word of mouth and my little Rat Pack email. Simple email, nothing more, no texting, no TikTok, no this, no that. It's just email.
There was one woman that told us, I got up this morning and I thought, I need to do something today. So she was out there with us for her first time.
Yeah, we've had so many people lately in the last year at different big rallies and small that say, this is my first time being here. We were on a trip recently, and I was talking to the couple of women who we spent more time with during this. It was a tour, and they listened, and they were in the same frame of mind of this authoritarian what we're trying to do. And yesterday, one of those women showed up for the first time in her whole life ever to a protest. And we were doing Social Security support. We were 90 years of Social Security we celebrated yesterday. So she came to that, and she stood there that whole time and held her sign. She didn't make a sign herself, but she found one and she held it. And it was wonderful to have that feeling. And I think she really felt good herself to be there. She thanked me, and I said, you'll get the information whenever you can show up. Please do, and tell others. Yeah. So my motto now is each one bring one or a dozen.
Yeah, look, I think what you're doing out there is giving people a place to be, a place to connect. And in the world we live in, that's a hard thing for people to do, right? There's just so much that we do that is solitary, right? Whether it's on our phone or whether it's just streaming movies or television series. And these are not social activities necessarily, right? So in addition to, fighting the good fight against authoritarianism, which is no small thing, you're giving people a place to connect and be in a sense of community that we're all, I think, desperately needing and missing, right?
Absolutely. My first sign I made early on was build a unity community. And I take that to mean two people that don't know each other necessarily, or two people that are just a couple, but they have some kind of unification between them and among them. And but the community grows and grows. And we have one here in Roseville that started, not sure exactly how long ago, probably, I think it was after. Either after the election or after the election, Common Grounds. And that was, to me, building a unity community. I mean, we were all on the same wavelength for what was happening and why we were there, but it brought more people together. And some of those folks have gotten involved with the Rat Pack, with other Dem clubs, with other actions. I mean, even things that some of the clubs are doing are social, activism in a way of giving back, of working at the food bank, collecting things for schools and students, and that type of thing. So there's more to it than just the political part.
If you love live music and want to be up close and personal with the band, there's only one place to go, the Torch Club. This hotspot is the place to be with two shows a day, Wednesday to Sunday. Check out the upcoming shows at torchclub.net or just drop by 904 15th Street in Sacramento. The Torch Club, there's always something happening. We all know that money spent on politicians is nothing more than a bribe. Citizens United called it free speech, but we know better. But what if we could balance the scale a few bucks at a time? That's what we're doing at the Six Pack, taking small donations and adding them up to make things more fair. Crack open some change. Support the Six Pack. Paid for by the Six Pack, which is responsible for the content of this advertising. www.thesixpack.com. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. What do you say to people who tell you, you're just wasting your time?
Well, we can all see from across the country, almost all of the congressional representatives that are with the R by their name are hiding away. They're not having town halls. They're not communicating with their people. So they have been impacted for sure by what we've been doing. That's one thing. There are small things. I think there's so many layers of what doing activism does. Well, Pat said it herself, it makes her feel good to be out there to say what she wants to say. Same with me. It makes people feel like they can connect with those who f have the same feelings of s the same like-mindedness,
Yeah, that's a good
all of
word.
that. So there are just lots of levels of what it does. And if it sparks one to do something different, that's a success in my book. I mean, Pat told me this story years ago of this kid who was on the beach, and all these starfish had washed up on the beach, and there were thousands of starfish. And so he starts throwing them in, and one at a time, throwing them in. And somebody comes along and says, "What are you doing?" He says, "You're not going to get all those in there. They're not. You can't do it." He said, "Yeah, but the ones that I do get in back in the water will survive." And that's kind of how it feels now. The people we touch, and they can touch others, and they can make a difference. And it is there is definitely a difference being made. I mean, I know if we look at historically how movements like this out on the street have changed the political scene dramatically. So I still have faith in that.
So Pat, I gotta ask you a question. So all those years that you were in the service and you couldn't, and by the way, in years where there was a lot of tumultuous stuff going on in our country, right? There was a, obviously there was the Stonewall riots. There was a civil rights movement. There was an anti-war movement. There was all this stuff going on. Then, more recently, right? It protests against the Gulf War and other, just all, and then Black Lives Matter, right? Like there's been a continuum of activism. That you probably didn't get to participate in as somebody who was in the service, right? You couldn't do those
Yeah,
things.
there was a lot that I couldn't participate in, but at the same time, I knew that Barb was there marching and doing participating, and she was representing both of us. And that made me feel better. At least she was there, able to do it.
But even before we knew each other,
Yeah.
those were times when you were fully entrenched in the military. You couldn't get out and do that. And
That's
I
right. I
wasn't
couldn't.
at that time. I was one of those just a tiny bit young, and where I grew up, a family situation, I just felt that I couldn't head on down to the marches that were happening in 1968 and 70, 71, 72. I graduated from high school in 71, so those first 2, 3 years, I really was not able to participate. But my mind was thinking about it. I was listening and learning and looking and watching and wondering. And now I'm doing.
Well, I feel like you've been released into the wild and you can now do whatever you want. You
Right.
can,
That's
well,
absolutely.
yeah, and tell me how it feels now, Pat, to be able to actually do that, right? Like you finally, once you retired and you could actually just go out and do the things you'd always wanted to do. How'd that feel for you?
It's a height of happiness that it's difficult to describe, Sean. It really is. I just love being out there. I just love supporting my democracy, and fighting autocracy. And I will do that as long as I live.
From the Roots Up is community radio that is sponsored by community businesses. If you'd like to join the growing list of folks who make this show possible, reach out to Jenny, Jenny, at khi.com. Absolutely talk about, amazing story that's depicted in your film. I don't want to tip too much because I hope people will go see Survive in the Silence. There's a lot of places you can get it on streaming services, etc. And it's an amazing documentary. But why not? How about if I just have you sort of give me the story that's depicted in there, the story of your lives together, which I think is unbelievable.
Well, I like to start with telling how this film actually came about, because a few people have said over the years, well, how did you get them to do this film about you? And it's absolutely the opposite. Pat was the officer in charge of dismissing a high-ranking military officer, Colonel Greta Kammermeier, and she came out to the military thinking they would change their laws and keep her in because she's a good soldier and she's not going to be blackmailed and all of that. So Pat had to adjudicate that trial. And what Pat did in that trial was to allow Greta Kammermeier's lawyers to bring in all the testimony they wanted, all the professional people that would testify on different levels of whatever the topic was.
At the same time, the general of the Sixth Army was yelling to his captain, "You tell them they get that started, and I mean right now." And he would tell me that, and I would say, "Yes, right. Yeah, I know. We're trying really hard, and we're working on it. Just let him know we're doing our best."
So she did her best. I mean, she did more than anybody else would have done. They would have had that trial happen. It would have been 1 hour, maybe. And this is the military regulation. And sorry, you're out. Goodbye. And there would be no recourse. But what Pat
right.
did and changed of course, Colonel Kammermeier's life dramatically for the better, and put the push into changing the don't ask, don't tell laws as well. She allowed them to bring it all in. So there was this trial lasted 3 days, all day long for 3 days. And when Barbara Streisand decided that she knew Greta's story from the book she had written, she produced a film. I think it was on Showtime. I'm not sure, but Glenn Close played Greta. And if you ever see that film, and when Pat's part comes up, you'll see this like split second of a woman, and then some of the wording that she gave, and that was it. So we decided we wanted to tell the backstory. I think when I talked to Professor Johnny Terry at Sierra College at the time, he had the LGBT studies program, film program, and he wanted us to get Greta to come and be the keynote speaker for Gay Pride Days, but she wasn't available. And I was really kind of happy because she already had all in a way, she sort of sucks all the air out of a room when she's there. Maybe not so much now, but at that time, because it was
right.
And I thought, this other story that nobody knows about, and the reason that she's back in the service is because of Pat. So let's share this one. And our title there for the keynote was Invisible No More. So we had a camouflage blanket, and we had it hanging, and Pat goes out to the podium in her mess dress in her beautiful uniform, and she starts, and then she says, "I'll have my wife Barb come and tell you more about it." So I come from behind that the camouflage blanket, and so we start telling the story the first time ever. And a person in the audience was a filmmaker from Atlanta. She had just shown her very first documentary, and this was a great one too, and it should be seen by everybody, especially students, young people, but everybody. She interviewed people like Tammy Baldwin and Barney Frank and other people in who have been out, judges and local politicians across the country. And because of the really rampant suicides of LGBTQ kids. So that was her motivation. And she talked to us. And after we told her that part of our story had to do with Colonel Kammermeier, she lit up and said, she started filming when we were speaking. So when that film When we finished talking, she said, "I'd like to do my next documentary about your story." And we had no idea what that meant, but we said, "Sure, of course, that would be great." And I can't even remember if we had already, we probably hadn't done any other talks, but the plan was, and we did after that, we spoke to a Sir Optimus group. We spoke at community colleges. We spoke at a couple of churches. So we did that sort of speech a variety of times, and it would have been just that, going here, going there. But when a film is going to come out and portray this whole story and even more, it can be worldwide, and it has become worldwide.
Yeah, I wanted to say that when we got through speaking that night, and then we went down the steps as we're leaving, there were about six young women standing there with tears coming down their face. And they wanted our autograph, and I thought, oh my goodness, my autograph, you know.
Well, I feel that way about you now, so I know you will.
This episode of From the Roots Up is brought to you by The Torch Club, Sacramento's premier live music venue every Wednesday to Sunday. Check them out at 904 15th Street in Sacramento or online at torchclub.net. We all know that money spent on politicians is nothing more than a bribe. Citizens United called it free speech, but we know better. But what if we could balance the scale a few bucks at a time? That's what we're doing at the Six Pack. Taking small donations and adding them up to make things more fair. Crack open some change. Support the Six Pack. Paid for by the Six Pack, which is responsible for the content of this advertising. www.thesixpack.com. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
How did you get through those 3 days? Like, I can't even imagine what that must have been like.
It was hard, but you know, I read the regulations and I knew what I had to do. And so I did it, and nobody knew that I was a lesbian as well. So afterwards, I cried all the way to dinner,
Yeah.
got home, and I was so happy to be home with Barb's support.
After that, we did get a call from People Magazine and some other media outlet, and I don't re remember which one, that they wanted to come and do an interview and with Pat. And I thought, boy, they are sure missing the boat. I thought they would have somebody like they do now, where they're just pestering and people, all the media, they're just all over the place and microphone and the cameras and all that, because they really missed a good story. They didn't know that she was a lesbian, and that would have changed everything right then and there.
Right.
They would have seen me going out on the driveway, getting into the car. Who are you? What are you doing here? You live with her, you know, all of this stuff that they could have dug up, but they never did. And in a way, it was much better now that I see how that can be a horrible thing, to be pestered like that and
Yeah.
attacked in a way.
I mean, I remember. That hearing. I remember it made national news. It was a huge deal. And I can remember thinking at the time, are you kidding me? Like,
Yeah.
how? I remember when Don't Ask, Don't Tell was announced. I thought, what are you doing? You're essentially making it policy that people must remain in the closet.
Yeah,
Like, I
exactly.
can't be who they are fundamentally. What?
It was
Can't
it
love who
wasn't
they love.
right, but it wasn't a compromise, and they were taking it as a compromise. Going
Yeah.
from nobody ever can be at all LGBTQ in the military to just be in the closet and you can stay. Well, people still, thousands and thousands were thrown out after that because they were hunted down and found for other reasons or thrown out for other reasons. And so, yeah, it was horrible policy.
Yeah, I can only imagine that. Let's say you're in it's there is a sort of a competitive nature to being, because you're trying to advance in your career, right? So there is some of that. I can't imagine how many times somebody who in any workplace this happens, by the way, right? Like where somebody was like, "Hey, why did they get the promotion and I didn't get the promotion, and I'm going to go get them because I know this thing about them." I can't imagine how many times that was used against LGBTQ service members who were just trying to live their life and live by this horrible policy that had been implemented. I mean, it's tragic. And then tragedy on tragedy for you to be there to preside over this, to Pat. Wow. I mean, you're tough.
I felt like I was highly respected. I was a medical brigade chief nurse, and there were three of us in the United States, and I was one of those. And so I felt like it was a job that I had to do,
Well, you were
and
also
I
the chief
did it.
nurse for the whole National Guard at the Pentagon for 3 years. And I always have to this when Pat retired in 1994, she was given an honorary Brigadier General star for the state of California. So I said, "Why aren't you wearing that star?" And I said, "You need to start wearing that star because in that we do whatever we're doing now is mostly local, so she can wear it." And it's very much she aged out. She would have been promoted to general, but she aged out, and they still have that same 60-year age limit. So it was just unfortunate of that because she was ready to become a one-star general.
So here you are through this entire time, and you're together, and you're a couple, and you're an activist. So you're out doing double duty. You're taking it on for Pat too, Barb. And now, but how did you feel at home? Or how did I mean? There's a part of it where you had to pretend even at home, that you couldn't be. Because you were worried that you might be found out. That must have been so incredibly hard.
We had an older neighbor across the street that came over one day, and we were out working in the front yard. And he said, "I just want to ask you, what is the relationship between you two women?" And I looked him right in the eye and I said, "We're sisters." And he said, he threw his hands in the air. He said, "That's what I told him. That's what I said." And he went home happy. But yeah, I had to do that.
Yeah, it gives you a sort of a sense of fear, a sense of shame. Those are powerful emotions to have to live with, and it was, in a way, and I think about how that was the way it was at the time. Neither of us thought it was right, and it certainly wasn't easy. And I was always on guard because Pat's career was on the line all the time.
And you've invested all these years in your career and know that at any minute it could just be taken away from you.
I got involved in Sacramento when Pat was in Washington, D.C., with CAPPAC, Capital Political Action Committee. And I went to meetings. I met Newsom when he was a young buck then, and others. Bella Abzug was at one of the meetings. Some of these people that came from Washington to speak, be keynotes there. And so I kind of got my feet wet, but while she was gone, realizing that there's something here I probably need to learn more about and be involved with. And as it progressed, I really never ever expected to be doing what I'm doing now with the Rat Pack.
And also, we see mainstream attitudes moving in the wrong direction, meaning things that I thought were settled, that you thought were settled, suddenly they're not settled anymore. We're seeing the Supreme Court talking about Obergefell, for example, right? So, how do you not
Good luck
break
if
down?
they our marriage. They would love to take our marriage away.
Yeah.
I think they're, I know a couple of the guys on the Supreme Court have been wanting for years and years to do that. So they just might try to do it now.
Yeah, it's getting closer every day. And we look at our financial picture and we live on Pat's military retirement. I have some income, but I never had a regular job that I'd get retirement from. And I also have her medical benefits. I do have Medicare, and that is also, on the chopping block. They're going to trim it here and there and everywhere if they can, or get rid of it if they can. But without the TRICARE program, I don't know. I'd have to search out my own personal medical coverage for over and above Medicare, and that's a lot of benefit that we would lo be losing, plus whatever the other 1,138 benefits are for legal marriage. So
Right.
it's a long way. It really makes a huge difference.
Yeah, all of that. I mean, what do you say to folks at this very difficult moment where things that we work that we all worked very hard for, that you too are a part of the canon of how we've changed these things, literally, you know, if you look at the history of it, you're in the history of this. What do you say to younger folks who see it going the wrong direction? How do you give them hope for the future that they too can push back and prevail in these dark times?
Well, I think they have to just get out and do it. We were at a conference last weekend in Sacramento, the National Women's Political Caucus. That was started about 52, 3 years ago by Gloria Steinem, Bella Abzug, Shirley Chisholm, and a number of other women who started this. And Gloria Steinem still living. I think she's 92, close to Pat's age. And the others are gone, but boy, what a difference they made. And this National Women's Political Caucus really is a national organization, but unfortunately, they're not in enough states, maybe 12 states. They should be all over. There should be chapters everywhere.
Yeah.
But there were young women there in their teens and 20s.
And spoke.
And they,
Yeah.
one of them reminded me so much of, Jasmine Crockett. She's just so powerful and says what she believes and is just out there with that strong voice. And I have such faith in those young women that they are going forward and doing. And they have to live their lives too. They can't just devote their whole life like we do, pretty much, to doing the activism. They are going to school, having to get jobs, whatever they have to do. Some of them have families, but they are doing it. So I just have such a such respect and love for the young people who are getting involved now and seeing that if they don't, they will suffer greatly in a good portion of their lives because we, as older people, we're not going to be around for 30, 40, 50 years, but they will. So if all the nastiness that's happening now in this regime comes to bear, they will suffer for it. So they have to get involved. And I think just educating everywhere we can is the best we can do. And I also think that young people have to bring their own young people along with them and open their eyes and tell them, get off TikTok and get into the streets or get into some political club or something. Do something. Just do something. Write letters, postcards, make phone calls. Everybody can do something. Everybody. There's something for everyone.
We go to an eye clinic in is that
Sacramento.
set in South Sacramento, and there is a young lady there that works there, and Barb talked to her every time we'd go there, and guess what? She's coming out now. She's joining us on the street. So she's young, and we tell her, bring your friends.
Yeah, I think it was well, in April. The rally that we had, one of those, and big one at the Galleria in Roseville. She came with five of her friends. That was so fantastic. And I thought, that's how we have to keep it going. We have to get these young people involved. And if they have any political inclination, they'll probably want to run for something. And there are so many places they can do that. They're in Roseville itself, just in the city of Roseville, there are like 50 commissions and boards you can get on to start with if you don't want to run for something. Some of them are appointed, some of them, I don't know that you actually have to run, but you can ask to be on a board and start somewhere. Find something that's interesting. Commission on water, commission on whatever it may be that has an interest, some interest that you can find a direction and pursue it and get involved. But I think the key is involvement and education. And those two have to go hand in hand. Educate yourself, educate people around you, and get involved in some manner.
One for the righteous, one for the ruling class. One for the tyrant, one for the slaughtered lamb.
We all know that money spent on politicians is nothing more than a bribe. Citizens United called it free speech, but we know better. But what if we could balance the scale a few bucks at a time? That's what we're doing at the Six Pack, taking small donations and adding them up to make things more fair. Crack open some change. Support the Six Pack. Paid for by the Six Pack, which is responsible for the content of this advertising. www.thesixpack.com. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
From the hands it came down, from the side it came
Wherever
down.
Wherever you live, most counties and cities down. Have commissions with unfilled seats. They are just waiting for you to show up. If you Google the name of your city or your county and with the word commission commissions or commission vacancies, generally they're publishing a list. They want people in these commissions. And if you have an issue you're passionate about, you go through that list of commissions, you find one. You can literally, a lot of times, just by signing up and saying, raising your hand and saying, I want to be on this commission, you're on it. And that could be everything from, you know, police oversight to homelessness to, you know, you name it. I mean, pick a topic, mental health. I mean, anything that's important to you, obviously, you know, there's ones built around identities. Like, you're right. There are unfilled opportunities all around you if you want to get involved directly in that process and and make your voice heard by those who are elected to serve us. And I say it that way because I do think that's the way we need to keep talking about it, that folks are elected to serve us, right? They serve at our pleasure, not the other way around.
Unfortunately, too many of them are not at our pleasure at all. There's no pleasure in those seats they fill. But yes, there's a place for everyone to find something that they feel good about doing. And it can start at very small and grow, or it can stay where it is. I know people want to help. People, I think the general human condition is you want to help. So if there's a way to help, figure out what works for you and do it. And I when I'm writing my Rat Pack email, sending it out, and I do have what I did, I had people sign up. They'd give me their email address. So I have this list and I would send to those folks. And then I decided to open it to my whole contact list, which is probably now the whole list is like over 1,000 names. Maybe half or three quarters at the most will open it. And I'm trying to eliminate those who don't even ever look at it. And they can some unsubscribe. That's the beauty of it. It's not something that I will hound you with. You just click unsubscribe and you're done. So I want people to know what's available for them to get involved with. So there are times when I'll pull off all the local activist events that are happening, or links to other types of whatever comes along that I see that I can share with folks that they can look at that and say, yeah, maybe I'll do that. Write postcards, do this, do that, whatever it happens to be, find something. And the other thing that I've been fortunate to do with my Rat Pack email Because when I try to sell it to people these days, I say it's not just politics, and it really isn't. It also, I'm using it as my way to build my own unity community.
From the Roots Up is community radio that is sponsored by community businesses. If you'd like to join the growing list of folks who make this show possible, reach out to Jenny, J-E-N-N-Y, at khi.com.
So this is where we talk about what specific actions should people take. First of all, let's start by saying, how do people get on that wonderful Rat Pack list so they can get your email?
Basically, my email address is B as in boy, A-R-E, and then the number one, the numeral, at me.com. Because as I always say, it's all about me. So that's my email address, B-B-B-A-R-E-1 at me.com. Send me an email saying you want to be on the Rat Pack email list, resistance, action, truth, and tenacity. And then I'll put your name on there and start sending out what I send out. And that'll be it. And so you have some information. There are some people who just say what you said, Sean. Oh, I just get my news from, I mean, my what's going on from the Rat Pack email. So that is a good thing. So I feel very much that it's growing, and it I want it to keep growing and keep informing people of how they can get involved, what's happening, and what they can do.
What about you, Pat? What would you say for folks to do? They get up tomorrow and they say, you know what? I've heard this amazing show, these wonderful activists in our community. What can I do now? What's the first thing that you would recommend somebody should do?
Get on Barb Brass's email. I have done that a lot.
Well, that's 100% win. I would also say something that that people should do is go find Surviving the Silence on the streaming platform of their choice. You can look it up online. You just type in Surviving the Silence movie and you will find it. And click the streaming thing. It'll tell you where all the places are that you can watch it. It is an incredible film.
The main thing is the people who see it are moved by it, and I'm glad that it is available out around the world on these streaming platforms. And thank you, Sean, for having us on this program. It's been great to talk about these things, and whoever hears it, I hope you take a little bit of inspiration and motivation and get out and do something or something more.
It's been so great. Anytime I get a chance to talk to you two, it's just the highlight of my day. It's been so great having you here on the show. Barbara Brass and Colonel Pat Thompson, thank you so much for joining me on From the Roots Up today. And I'll see you out at the corner.
Yes, thank you.
So there you have it. Activism is defined by who you are, and you define what you want to get active about. All it takes is time, some signs, and some people who want to get involved, and you too can be an activist. And remember, everything is impossible until it isn't. I'm Sean Frame. I hope you'll join me every week as we delve into a topic like this, and I hope you'll engage me in a conversation. If you want to reach out to us, send an email to fromtherootsupshow@gmail.com.
I read the room as if I don't understand English. I understand man is as man thinketh, and knowledge is a power we just can't relinquish. In this senseless, cold, and offensive world, you're either with the evolution or against it. The difference is prison gates or picket fences. It's big business. Death is expensive. Look, Hunger Games by another name is what became of the oath that went up in flames when another man was slain. But ain't nothing changed, cause the sad reality is it ain't nothing strange. Collateral death is avenue F for all. Assuming you rest, you never can rest assured. You can address the Lord and ask for an explanation. Dear God, who is justice for? As if the people in the projects, tenements, trailer parks, and parishes who suffer from bad breaks and malnourishment, they can't expect to receive any inheritance. The ones you probably perceive as un-American. Freedom over everything, I solemnly swear. I will offer no apology for sorrow or tears. Every time I look to the stars, tomorrow appears. And everybody who believes in me can follow me there.